Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. You with Abdul Shaheed, your host of Optimal Health, and also your certified symptometry health coach. Welcome to another episode of Optimal Health. We'd like to start off with Bismillah Rahman Rahim. Ishadu an la ilaha illallah. Ishadu anna Muhammadan Abduhur Rasuluhu. That is to say, with God's name, merciful benefactor, merciful redeemer, with his signature, we come to share this information of Optimal Health with you, as we have been doing for quite some time now. We'd like to thank you for joining us today on Optimal Health to learn more about what it takes to be optimally healthy, brothers and sisters. In order for us to be optimally healthy, we must cure all of our diseases. A disease for a human being is a distraction. It's a distraction. We're not supposed to have one. Why? Because a disease is an anomaly. That means it's not normal. Health is normalcy, and a disease is abnormalcy. The Almighty have created everything in the universe in pairs. They are perfect, everything. Up, down, plus, minus. That's how everything is created in the universe. That's positive and negative in everything. Mother Nature contains both positive and negative to keep the balance. So we know a lot about the upside of nutrition, but we know very little about the downside of nutrition, the one that gonna make us sick and keep ourselves in a compromised position. So we ask you to join us every week on AM 360. It's our aim and objective to enlighten health-conscious individuals on root cause therapeutics and provide them with guidance on general wellness and cell nourishment. From being a student of symptometry, we now know that planet Earth is well known as an echo chamber of illusion. Brothers and sisters, things are not always as they seem. And it's also a testing ground. And we all know that we've been here, sent here to be tested, to make us smarter and smarter and smarter. And it also has booger traps everywhere. It has booger traps everywhere, though we've been created to live here, but booger traps are everywhere. Who's helping us to navigate these booger traps? That's why you're here. We ask you to come join us each and every week to learn about these booger traps that cause health to be denied. That cause health to be denied. Brothers and sisters, once again, we welcome you. We thank you for joining us. We have an excellent program outlined for us today so we can keep learning about health and where health comes from. Health comes from our cells, all 75 to 100 trillion of them. If they're healthy, we will be healthy. If we take care of them, they'll take care of us. This is how the Almighty designed it. This is how it is. So, brothers and sisters, we're going to talk today about food. Food kills. I'm going to talk about how food kills and the misconception about food. All you need to know about food. If a person has a disease, most of the time it came from what they've been eating over a period of time. So you're going to learn a lot today. And I have my guest, returning guest, Mrs. Rita Taylor, here to help us out today. And we're going to introduce her now and let her introduce herself to some of the new listener we might have, and then we'll take a quick break, then we'll get started with our program. Thank you for being here with us once again. Mrs. Rita, your mic is open.
Okay.
Well, Lagos Salaam, how are you doing this evening?
I'm so well. Thank you so much. I would like everybody to know that I am in symptometry with Brother Saheed, and basically we're learning about food and what makes us sick and what we can do to prevent diseases. And I'm here to share with you the knowledge about food, because it's a double-edged sword. Asma alaikum.
Well, like I said, we thank you for joining us today, Mrs. Rita, to help us out. So people just won't hear from my perspective or keep hearing from me, but these things what we're going to be sharing are facts of life. You know, there are facts and there are opinion. It's not my opinion. It's not Mrs. Rita's opinion. These are facts of life, and that's what we'll be sharing on this program, facts of life. So keep note of them. Keep adding them up. Put them in a notebook so you can review them. That's what we'll share, facts of life. And you can believe them or not. It's up to you. It's still going to be a fact of life. And this is how it is. So, brothers and sisters, sit back and relax. If you have any new people on the line, just continue to listen, and you'll be brought up to speed. Doesn't make any difference where you start. The fact of the matter is that you get started to learn about health. And that means learning about your own body, the cells that make up your body, the organ, the tissue, the system that make up these things. This is what we must learn about and how they are kept normal. Because when we put them in a state of abnormality, that's when they give us all those signs called symptoms, and those symptoms will turn into full-blown diseases if we do not take care of the problem. We don't remove the garbage, the concretion, the sludge, and all of these things that will compromise our health. And health will be denied, brother and sister. Health will be denied. And it won't be no one to blame but our own self. But our own self. So, brother and sister, sit back and relax. And if you have questions, we're going to entertain questions. And we're going to be right back. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back and get started. We have a lot of information to share with you today. A lot of information. As we take this break, call someone, a relative, a friend, an associate, someone you know that is sick and they need help, they need information. This would be a good place to start. Invite them to join us on the same number that you just called in on, and they will surely learn something that can help them. And so as you take a moment to do that, we're going to take a quick break. So please do not go anywhere. You're with Abdul Shaheed and guests, and this is Optimal Health. We'll be right back. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Dabrita Hadi, Director of the MCNRD Model Community National Resource Directory, reminding volunteers of our upcoming MCNRD Social Connect Conference every last Sunday of the month, 1 o'clock p.m. to 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We look forward to your participation, so please check your email for conference call information. Thank you so kindly. Assalamu alaikum.
Join us live every Wednesday morning from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with host Naima Latif and yours truly, Imam Kareem Hamid, presenting The Female Solution. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. You're with Abdul Shaheed and guest, Mrs. Rita Taylor, is helping us out today. Also a certified symptometry health coach and a student in the master program at the American School of Symptometry. Brothers and sisters, just another piece of fact of life. A fragmented DNA is the root of all human diseases. This is because the genes will never release the blueprint, the set of instructions needed by the cells. They will never be released. That is a protein building instruction manual, how to build a protein in the human body. That's what the instructions, those instructions are all about. It is the recipe for building protein, the instruction manual. It comes from the blueprint. But if the DNA is fragmented, the gene will never release this blueprint, so the cell will have the instruction to produce protein building essential. These will be the things that will keep us on a paradigm of normalcy, brothers and sisters. And when the cells do not have what they need to do it, express themselves with the symptoms and share with us that they need our help, that they need our help. That's what this symptom is about. If we don't take care of it and do what we need to do to give the cell some relief, then we will have a full-blown disease, a full-blown disease. That is a fact of life. DNA consists of 20 amino acids. And they're in a sequence, A to T, C to G. That is the DNA for human. That is the sequence of human DNA. A to T, C to G. We'll break down those initials sometime in the future. Gray and white matter in our brain, brother and sister, are made mostly with amino acids and 20 amino acids in the DNA. And these amino acids that our brain is made of is sitting on the matrix. There's a matrix for our brain and every other body part, including a matrix for the enzyme that our cells produce first. Also part of our brain are mineral salts. And when mineral salts are in short supply, a disease will occur in that area, no doubt. These are natural and very important facts of life. Facts of life, brother and sister, believe it or not. Believe it or not. And every disease that we have, if we don't take care of it, put it back to normalcy, and remove the abnormality, will become a mental illness. These are facts of life that we're sharing with you today. So, Mrs. Rita, you have some information you want to share with our listeners today concerning food?
Yes, I do. I do about food, and I'm so delighted that you started off by telling us about food. And before I start, I would like to know, how many of you some food today? Raise your hand. I'm sure we all did. I did too. I did it this morning. We all eat food because we need food. But do we need every food? That's the question. Because as I said, food has an upside and downside. And we need to focus basically on the upside because the downside will kill you. Because food kills. Have you heard of this adage that food cure diseases? Have you heard about that? That is half truth about that. Because you know what? Food will help you, but it will also kill you. So how do we go about making sure that the food that we eat are good for ourselves? Because as Brother said, he said, we need to maintain our optimal health. And you know what? Health is an individual journey, and it's a day-to-day affair. You might be healthy today. Tomorrow when you get up, you might have a big pimple on your head or on your nose. That's a symptom. It means that something is getting wrong in your body. You need to do something about it. Okay, how do we know? How do we make sure that we're eating the food? Since we know that food is a double-edged sword, every time you're eating something, you need to ask yourself, and that's what I do, how much of this food, even though it's good for me now, should I eat? Sit there and eat a bowl of ice cream, a pint of ice cream, knowing that it freezes my brain? No, I will not eat it. But if you're going to eat it, eat a little bit of it. You know, you heard about moderation or little. Don't eat the whole thing. Eat some of it because every food that we, there's no perfect food on this earth. No perfect food. And when you know that, then you're going to select the food that are good for you. And when they're good for you, you still don't overeat them because in our world, less is more. You need less food. You don't need more food to be healthy. You don't need more food to be healthy. So how do I recommend to you guys about making sure that you're eating the right portion, the right amount? You know, in symptometry, we call it scientific eating and scientific cooking. Because when you're born, you were told that food can cure you. So you already came on this earth thinking that you can eat everything. No. They want you to eat everything so that you can get sick and go to the doctor so that the doctor can make money out of you. Remember, it is your health, not the doctor's health. So you need to be your own advocate. making sure that you're eating the right food in order to help you stay healthy. And again, one of the things that we always need to strive for is an optimal health. What is an optimal health? It's the ability of the cell body part to resist diseases. And how do you resist diseases? You resist diseases by eating the right food into your body. Because if you don't eat the right food and you eat chaotically, it will come back to haunt you. It won't come back to haunt you now. It will come back to haunt you as you age. The question you need to ask, why are people sick when they get older? Why are they not sick? You know, now we still see people at 40 having heart disease, a heart attack, and all this stuff. It's all because of the food you're eating. Why is that people get sick when they're in their 60s and 50s and stuff? Because the food that you've been eating since you're a teenager is coming home to roost. It's coming home to roost because it will destroy your DNA. It will break down your cell. And that is where disease starts. Disease don't just start just like that. Start with a symptom. Maybe your back hurts. And you say, oh, well, it's going to be okay. You need to find out, why is my back hurt? What am I eating? What is in my body that is causing that disease? So, again, we live in a troposphere, as you said. That is more, you know, it's an illusion. You have to be health smart and smart to really live in the right way. Again, I'm asking all of you, that yes, we need food, but we need to make sure we're eating the right food. And if not, whatever food we eat, again, let's look like bananas. You know, people eat a lot of bananas, but you know the banana is good for you, but you know the banana also have sorbitol that also can cause diabetes. So why would you sit down and eat five or six sticks of bananas instead of one banana? Do you need five or six sticks of banana? No. Again, soda. I used to be the queen of soda. I used to drink so much soda, that Coke, that you think is going out of business. That soda has nothing but sugar. A can of soda has 13 teaspoons of sugar. Well, I kept, at the age of 9 and 10, have diabetes. Ask yourself, what kind of water are they drinking? Are they drinking any electrolyte water, or are they drinking soda as their beverage? Again, it's the food and the water that we drink and the herbs around here that make us sick. But we can control that, though, because living is up to us. And the food we eat is up to us. Again, it is the season for watermelon all over the place. Watermelon, yes, it's good for you, but at the same time, too, it has sorbitol. It has a lot of sugar in it. So what do I do when I have watermelon? I share with my neighbors. I make sure everybody eats something. I'm not sitting at home eating that watermelon all by myself. Again, it's a little bit that you need, not a whole lot. So it is up to us what we eat. Every food that we eat has a downside and an upside. And you have to be smart enough to say, no, I'm not going to eat this. Let me start again with plants. You know, a lot of people are vegetarian, they eat nothing but plant food. Do you know that plants were made to live in the wild? They weren't made to move. They were made to live in the wild. And why they're in the wild? They have to protect themselves. I didn't know this, but I came to St. Thomas. They have to protect themselves. So what do they protect themselves with? With poison. So that if you come and eat them, you will die. But are we told that? So when you buy a plant or you buy any fruit or whatever, you come home and you just put it in your mouth. Do you know what microbes and fungi is on that? Did you soak it in salt water for 8 minutes before you ate it? And when you eat that apple that have also have, you know, in there, did you cut it to see whether you have worms in the apple? So, again, it has its upside and downside. And it's up to us to make sure we make the right choices. So, again, when you buy collard greens or whatever, it has some microbes in there. And remember, the greens, they, because of our system, they say, oh, this is organic and this is non-organic. Let me tell you the difference, ladies and gentlemen, whether it's organic or not. Organic means that they weren't sprayed with chemicals. That's all it is. The other one was sprayed. But even if it's organic, it still comes from the soil. Are you going to eat it without washing it because it's organic? No. You will still wash it. Soil, it comes from soil. And you will still soak it in saline solution for 8 minutes to neutralize the microbes and the fungi in there for you to make sure that before you eat it. So, again, before you cook your collard greens, which we all do, the mustard greens, which we all love, make sure that you put in saline solution after washing it for 8 minutes. Cook it on a high stove, on a high heat for 1 hour, uncovered. Why do we say that? Because it has ammonia and nitrate and phyto that you do not need in your blood. Cook that for 1 hour uncovered, and then you can cover it for the next hour and a half to make it tender for you. Again, it is how you prepare the food that makes you healthy. Okay. The next thing about vegetable is meat. How do you prepare your meat? You have to prepare it scientifically. Don't say that, oh, it takes so much time, so I don't have, yes, but it's your health. Money can buy your health, though. Money can buy your health. If you're sick, you're going to run to the doctor, and they're going to ask you to take this medicine, and this medicine. And these medicines, it takes away hydrogen from you. It is not healthy. The doctor themselves, ladies and gentlemen, they don't take drugs. Maybe they don't tell you that. I have friends who are doctors. When they get sick, they take it for 2 or 3 days. That's it. Some they give you the blood, the high blood pressure medicine, and people take it for 30 years. Something's wrong here with the picture. Why are you taking that thing for 30 years? Doesn't that drug heal? Why the doctor only take it for 3 days, but you've been told to just take it until you die? Again, the drug that you're taking, it's going to kill you. So, again, that is the way you cook the food make a difference. How do you prepare the meat? The meat is important. I recommend the meat, whatever meat, the fat on the meat needs to be peeled off because it has arachidonic acid in them. And so you need to be peeled off so that it's lean meat that you're supposed to eat. And then what do? You season it. You put on a high heat for 1 hour. 1 hour. Cook that meat, regardless of whether it's chicken or whatever, except fish is different. I mean, cook it for 1 hour on a high heat and then take it into a crock pot. Season that. And you know what? The liquid that you boil the meat with, you can use it in your stew. You can use it in your stew because it's good for you to use in your stews and soups, okay? And then on a crock pot for the next 11 hours, seasoned, cook it overnight, and the next morning you have tender meat because the toxin has been neutralized, the amino acids have been released because you need amino acids, which is protein. We all need protein. And then you eat them and you have good meat. Again, these are the basic way to cook our meat. So we know that we have to take charge of our health. And if we don't take charge, the doctors are not going to tell you how to do it. Again, what kind of fruits do you eat? Do you know that the frame of the fruit have so much sugar that it causes so much stuff in your body? And you need so much, you need just a little bit of sugar, not a whole lot. So wash the food, and every time you take it, I tell myself, food, you are a double-edged sword. You can heal me, make me stronger, and you can kill me. You see, you need food, because if you don't, you're not going to have any energy. If you don't have any energy, you're going to die eventually. So we all need food. Nobody says don't eat food because we need them. But what kind of food is getting into your system? How are you selecting your food? Again, I recommend Scintometry. Scintometry will teach you the why behind the food, why you need to be selective of your food, the food that you need to eat, and the food that you need to avoid. Don't wait till your back is on the wall. Don't wait till they said, oh, you better have surgery because that, before you run to Scintometry. We're here to help you avoid that. I'm going to share with you that Scintometry is here to make you live stronger and healthier, because we are recommending that the food you eat cook properly so that you can digest them. Because if you don't digest your food, you won't have the enzymes you need. You need to enzyme supplements. You need to have that. And again, based on that. How do you eat after you have prepared them? After you prepare them, you know that when you are eating, you're not supposed to talk at all until you finish eating, and 30 minutes before you drink water to allow the food to digest. Ladies and gentlemen, I am here to say that we are here to help you live stronger and also live better, so that you don't run to the doctor's office every week or every month. Because if you are not there, they don't have you. You are your own advocate. And the food that you eat will either help you or it will heal you. So let me tell you something. There's one thing that I've learned since I've been in Scintometry. You know, we have choices. We have two choices in life. You can decide that you're going to eat scientifically, or you can eat chaotically, anything that comes your way. And all the things that comes your way, you can eat them. I used to do the same thing. But when you get older, it's going to come back to you. You're going to get the diseases. You say, oh, my gosh, my foot is swollen. What happened is the food that you have been eating along the way that have gone into your cells and basically destroy your DNA. Basically, it has broken it down, and you need to make sure you fix it. And the only way you fix it is by eating well. And eating well, eating the food, not gobbling everything, but in a measured way. Because, as I said, food is good, but it's also a double-edged sword. And either can help you or it can kill you. When somebody says food can kill you, don't laugh, because it can kill you. It might not kill you today. It will kill you eventually if you continue to do the same thing, repeat the same mistakes that our parents make and all this stuff. Again, what kind of oil do you cook with? Unsaturated fat? Or do you cook, do you have coconut oil, olive oil, vegetable oil? Those are all saturated fats. Okay? And they are non-essential. You need canola. Canola is polyunsaturated. Look on the label and see the fat content when you buy them. Compare that with olive oil. See the fat content. And I'm telling you that you see canola oil content is less. It's about less than 10% compared to the other one, which is huge. Again, it is saturated. Your body do not need that. That's what leads to strokes. That's what leads to all kinds of high diseases. That's what leads to all kind of things that you are not told because you did not know. We are here to say that we do have the message, that we have the right information for you to be able to use to help you become a better steward of your body. Because if you do not take care of that body, no one is going to take care of that for you. It's not the doctor, because the doctor is happy to see you. And remember, when you go in, that you ask questions. Okay? Why am I taking this? Why is it necessary for me to do this? Yes. And she said, no, please. Surgery, get a second opinion. Why do I need surgery? Don't just go do it. Okay? Ask second opinion. Again, we are here in Centometry to help you avoid some of these trips to the doctor. Because the food that you eat is what's going to make you sick. And when you're sick, you have to go and see the doctor. And you can prevent that. Enroll in our school and learn the why, and learn about why food is a double-edged sword and what kind of food you can stay away from depending on your circumstances. We are all different, remember. We are all made with different DNA, so we are unique individuals. What is good for somebody else might not be good for you, but even though we are individual, there are certain principles that you need to hold, that whatever you're eating, don't overdo it. Take a little bit and let it go, because in Centometry, less is more, and more is not good. Measure your food. Make sure you eat a little bit at a time, and just make sure that you tell yourself, food, I know I need you, but I also know that you can kill me, so I'm going to eat less of it. And if you don't need to eat them, don't eat them. If you've been told not to eat it, don't. Stay away from the fat, because that's one of the cause of a lot of diseases. So, Brother Saheed, this is my story with food. And Centometry has helped me understand that I need to be selective of the food I eat, because it goes straight into my body, and I need to make sure that the right food will make me healthier and the wrong food will kill me eventually. Give me the strokes that I don't need, the high blood pressure, all the stuff that we do. We have food. There's plenty of food. We have 45 food that is on our list that you can eat, and it's good for you. Try some of that. So, Brother Saheed, food is a double-edged sword.
Absolutely, Ms. Rita. You shared a lot of information. In the human body, here's another fact of life. Less is more. You expressed that. Less is more. Not more is more. If we go to the health food store, we buy all those vitamins and minerals and all those things. We add those things to our diet. We supplement our diet. And we don't even need them. Less is more. How much magnesium are you going to take? We don't know. You don't know. So they sell you things. They sell us things. And we don't even know what they're good for. So less is more in the human body. So when it comes to food, it's the same concept. And we don't have to eat a large variety of food. Centometry have studied food for many years. And there's a book called what to consume has the safest consumable for human beings on this planet. Use that as a guide to select your food. They have been tested in a laboratory to determine what health disruptors are in them. There are no perfect food on this planet. That's what Ms. Rita shared with us. No perfect food. All food have health disruptors. All food have health disruptors. Now, what are you going to do to be healthy? You must use science to select the food to eat, to live. And you cannot only just eat to live to be healthy. Food is just one part of it. We have to learn how to maintain our body. We have to learn how to repair it. We have to learn how to remove sludge and garbage, concretion, calcala, gravel, sand, marble, stones. All these things will be in our body. We have to know how to remove the acid that our body produced, like the acid, lithic acid, sulfuric acid. All these things our own body will produce, poison, toxic, ammonia, that will mix with glucose, producing glucosin. All these things we have to know. We live with this body 24/7, Mrs. Rita, and we should know a lot more about it than we do. That's why we have sickness and disease. We don't know enough. In order to be optimally healthy, brothers and sisters, we have to become earth smart, and we have to become health smart. That's why we have this program to teach us these things, what we need to know. So, Mrs. Rita, you shared some excellent information. We're going to check our listeners, see if they have any question for you before you leave, before you have to depart. So anyone that have a question for our guest, press 1 on your phone. Anyone at all have a question or a comment to make? Maybe you just might want to say, well, we certainly appreciate the information. That was excellent. I never thought of that. Nobody ever told me that. I never read that anywhere. Any comments or any question that you might have, this is a good time to ask our guest. You might have to depart shortly. So she's here to help us out today with information, scientifically verifiable information that we've been blessed to learn at the American School of Cytometry. At the American School of Cytometry, anybody can enroll who want to learn about health. Now we have a school, brothers and sisters, to teach us about health. Without our health, we lose everything. So if you have a question, don't be shy. It's just like talking to the family. That's what we are. We're family here.
Yes.
To ask us a question or to come in with us, it's just like talking with your family at the dinner table without the dinner.
Mm-hmm. Don't be shy. So we're here to help.
Yeah, don't be shy. No question is the wrong question. No question is a bad question. It might help someone else. If you ask the question, it probably helps everybody on the line to understand it a little bit better. So if you have a question, just press 1 on your phone, and we'll open your mic. You'll be able to ask your question or make a comment even. Mrs. Rita, ask somebody to get enough nerve to raise their hand. Press 1 on the phone. Right, we'll keep sharing some information until you have to leave. How about that?
Yeah, we will. But remember, as my brother said, we need food. Don't get me wrong, because without food, you won't have any energy. Zero energy, you will not survive. But we need to be earth smart and health smart about the selection of the food. She also talked about what to consume. It's a good book to have to see all the food, the 45 food. That is plenty of food that we can eat. So don't say, oh, we're not asking you to give up your food. We're saying that select your food wisely, because this food they have been researched and know that it's good for us. So when you eat them, it's good for you. But whatever food that you're eating, before you put it in your mouth, say, I know it's good, and I also know it's bad. It can kill me. It can help me. So I'm going to eat less of the truth, less of the truth, you will go a long way to help yourself, a long way. You know, that you do you know ice cream? I know this is summer. We all love ice cream. Do you know that ice cream freezes your brain and shrinks your brain? You need your brain for good health. So why would you sit there and eat a gallon of ice cream? If you're going to eat it, just a little bit of it will suffice. Ice cream do shrink your brain. And when your brain shrinks, you know what happens? You begin to have loss of memory. Somebody talks to you, tell you something, and you forget about it. You go to a room and you wonder why you're in that room. You went there to pick up something, but when you got there, you forgot. It's all based on the food that we eat. And let me tell you, I have not eaten ice cream for the past 7 years since I came to St. Thomas. Because knowing what ice cream will do to me, I said, no, I don't want to shrink my brain. Because I'm going to need my memory as I get older. Okay, a lot of people with dementia and Alzheimer's, it's all because of the food we eat. The food that we eat will do that. And some of them will shrink your brain. And a good brain is a good, it's the appetite of a good health. If you have your brain, you have sharp brain, sharp memory, is going to go a long way. Again, it's the food that we eat. Again, less is good and more is bad. Is there anybody out there, any questions that they might have for me? Because I am so passionate about what I'm talking about. Because food, as you know about food, you're going to be very cautious about what goes into your body, your cell. We know we are made of matrix. We are made of cells. Our bodies, what goes into our bodies determine how strong we are, how weak we are. And it's all about food, food, and food.
That is absolutely true. As a fact of life, Mrs. Rita, more facts. They just keep adding up. Has nothing to do with what we believe. Our belief system. Facts are independent of belief. It's the truth. It's been proven to be true. And we can be misled to believe almost anything. And that's what happened to us. Been misled, misinformed, miseducated, diseducated, uneducated about health. And we're miseducated about health. Everything else is downhill from there because we need our brain. Our brain needs to be healthy at all times. If someone can take out our brain and mind, we'll be compromised as a human being. That's what the human being been blessed with, his intellect, his intelligence, along with his intuition.
Mm-hmm.
They work together. The brain and the mind works together. They work together.
Amen.
If we don't have our brain, we won't have our mind.
Uh-uh.
They're connected. They're the twin pair of each other. People say, well, she lost her mind or he lost her mind. Really, in essence, what they mean is their brain is compromised.
Exactly.
That's why they're not able to make excellent decisions.
Mm-hmm.
The brain is congested. The mind would be congested. If the brain is confused, the mind would be confused. This is what we've come to learn, brothers and sisters, about health. The body, the mind, the soul, all work together as one unit. And when one part is not doing its part, then the whole body suffers. The whole body suffers. If the mind wants to pull and go in one direction and the brain said no, we have a problem. There's resistance. Inertia, lack of movement, things are going to go wrong. More negative energy you have to deal with. So I see a hand raised. We're going to go to this hand. Well, they took it down. Maybe it was a mistake. If it wasn't a mistake, press it again. Okay, 708-288. Your mic is open. Give us your name and where you're calling from. Ask your question or make a comment. It could have been a mistake, but we're taking a chance. 708-288. Your mic is open.
Oh, we're waiting. I want to share with you about. Okay.
This is Yvette. How
are
you?
This
I'm just tuning in. Good. Thanks.
I should have recognized that number.
I'm just tuning in. Yeah, a little late, but I'm just tuning in to.
Excellent. We're
you
talking
know,
about
say
food.
A few words.
You want to share something? You want to share something with our listeners? We're talking about food.
Oh, sure. I'll be happy to. My name is Yvette. I am also a symptometry health coach, and I just wanted to chime in for a minute here to reiterate what my coaches here are saying about food. I mean, so food is something else. I mean, who knew that food could be so detrimental to your health? No one knew, right? We just eat and be merry, and that's it, and be happy and eat. Cause no one knows that food is dangerous or how dangerous it can be. Like, food can change your blood test reports. You go to the doctor and you wonder why last year your liver was working perfectly and 3 years from now your liver numbers are going down. You're like, well, what happened? What did I do? I've been eating normal. I've been eating the way that I've been eating for a while. I mean, I don't think I've changed anything, but that is the effect food has on you. The downside, what people don't, what should I say, that's not advertised, right? It's only the good side that's advertised. But when you get that, go get your blood drawn, and then you get your report, and you wonder what happened. Like, oh, my goodness, what happened? Did I eat too much pork? Did I eat too much ice cream? Did I eat too many chips? Like, why is my cholesterol off the chart? It's no way it should be off the chart. What happened? I just had nuts. You know, I'm trying to be good. I just have nuts and seeds and fruit and all the things that they say is healthy. So why does my blood report say this? Why? Because food also has a downside. See, here at Symptometry, we think health differently. We think health differently. We have to think health differently because we follow central metric science, which is the correct science. We hear about science says this, science says that, but central metric science, oh, that's the correct science. That's the one that I want to follow because that's the science that tells you the truth. It tells you the truth. The truth about nuts, seeds, fruit, vegetables, it tells you the truth. So we think health differently here at Symptometry. And I just wanted, you know, to add that, you know, let's not be fooled. Let's not be bamboozled by television shows, the fruits and vegetables, you know, canisters that they have on TV and say, oh, take this today, you know, take this every day. You don't get your 16 servings of fruits or 16 servings of vegetables every day, so you need to buy these and take them every day. And you see people, oh, I'm more healthier today since I've been taking these foods. But what do their blood reports say? No one would never know. But the correct science, centrometric science, what we're teaching you here today, You follow that science for a year and see how your blood report improves. See how your liver results will be up. See how your cholesterol will be down. This is the correct science. This is what we're telling, spreading to everyone that would listen. Correct science is citrometric science. So I just wanted to let you all know that follow us is the correct science. Thank you, Mr. Shahid, for letting me talk.
Thank you, Yvette, for adding to it, because we all know food is a double-edged sword. And before I leave, you know, I know we're talking about food, but I want to talk to you about something that I'm passionate about in centometry, which the world doesn't know about. It's called pregnancy management. As a woman, pregnancy management, you know, we bring children into this world, and they're going to be our future leaders and everything else. You want them to be healthy. You want to have a child that is healthy. Centometry do have a nine-month program where you will provide you with the molecules and technically for you to use as a pregnant lady to make sure that when you're ready to deliver, you're able to deliver in less than 30 minutes. Ladies, less than 30 minutes. When I was in my, you know, when I had my first child, I was in labor for 30 hours.
Yeah, me too.
Okay? And
yes,
I promised 16 myself.
16 hours.
So if you know somebody who's pregnant and interested in bringing a healthy child to this world, let them contact Brother Shahid. And they, he will help you get there. And the child that you're going to bring into this world will be a healthier child. And also will help you how to breastfeed the first 10, 12 months of the year of what, when you have the baby, is when you breastfeed so that the kid is healthy. We have all that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to end that, even though we're talking about food, is pregnancy management. It is important that we bring healthy children into this world. So Brother Shahid and my friends and Yvette, food is a double-edged sword. It can heal you, and it can also kill you. Thank you for today.
Thank you, Ms. Rita.
We certainly appreciate you working with us today and helping us out. That was excellent information. And we thank you once again. We look forward to you returning. And hopefully it'll be next week. So that was excellent information. And we might be able to pull some questions out of our listener before our program is over. Thank you so very much, and you have a good evening.
The same here. Yvette, talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yes, that was our guest today that was helping us out. This is Rita Taylor, a certified centometry health coach, and also in the master program at the American School of Centometry. Absolutely amazing. Brothers and sisters, we're going to take a short break. And we still have 1 hour left into our program. So please take a moment, if you would, call someone, ask them to join us on Optima Health. We're sharing information that they can begin to use today, not tomorrow, not next week, not next year. You can begin to use this information today to begin to optimize your health. So please do not go anywhere. We'll be right back. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Munira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum. God's peace be upon you. God's love.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. You're with Abdul Shahid and guests, and this is Optimal Health, your certified symptometry health coach. So we're going to continue to talk about food. If you have a question, just press 1 on your phone, and we'll open your mic in order for you to ask your question or make a comment. Don't be shy. Give us all an opportunity to learn and to interact with each other. We all have something to learn. Never stop learning, brother and sister. This is the key to health. Never stop learning. Always keep an open mind for the truth. So, brother and sister, people have always wondered how food kill a person. And it's very easy for a student at the American School of Symptometry to explain it. And that's what we're going to take a moment to do, to explain it, how food kills. People eat all kinds of food, organic, inorganic, so-called healthy food, so-called unhealthy food. It doesn't make any difference, brother and sister. Really, it doesn't. Healthy food also kills, because it is eating food is one thing. What happened to the food after we eat it is another thing. And then when we have the nutrients circulating in our blood, how is the nutrient getting into the cells? That's a whole nother matter. Because just because you ate food doesn't mean that they are going to enter the cell. Our cells are so tiny, brothers and sisters, that those foods have to be turned into nutrients. Ions are nutrients. That's atoms. Because the cells are so tiny, they're so small. So the food must be broken down into ions and nutrients. Atoms, again, everything comes from atoms, and that is proof. And they have to be turned back into atoms in order for our cells to be nourished. If you do not have the enzyme to do that, well, your cell will be malnourished. Therefore, they will not have nutrients and resources to produce brain essential, body essential, and cell essential to keep us on a paradigm of what's normal. And a disease would occur, warning us that we're veered off the paradigm of normalcy. This is what happens. So when we eat food, if the residue of the food is left behind where the food is not thoroughly digested, that residue will attract and retain all kinds of microbes. Now, what are microbes? Those are things that we cannot see with our eyes, brother and sister. They are everywhere. Every surface on earth has microbes on it. I don't care what you think about it. That's another fact of life. So we're giving facts of life. Just write them down. When I say facts of life, that's something you should take note. It's not my opinion. It's not your opinion. It's a fact. So if every surface on earth has microbes on it, how do you protect yourself? Well, we're going to get to that. But we're dealing with food right now. So Ms. Rita gave us some ideas about what we can do when we bring the food home from the supermarket, especially the fruits and vegetables. Those things must be soaked in iodine salt solution to remove the microbes, to remove the wax, to remove the pesticide, the herbicide, the fungicide. all these things that will be glued to the fruits and vegetables. They'll be glued there. Just running some water on them is not good enough. We got to unglue them. Everything is trying to feed on the plants. Human trying to feed on the microbes, the parasite, the fungus, the bacteria, the viruses, the mold. All of these things are breathing organisms, though you don't see most of them. And the one we see, oh, it just turns our stomach when it comes to eating. So it's good that we don't see them. So those things have to be unglued. You know, like I mentioned, if you don't eat the, if you don't digest the food that we're eating thoroughly and properly, we will have residue or undigested food circulating in our blood, and that will be free food available for microbes to be attracted to us. This is how it's done. Micro in the form of viruses. Why do viruses attack one person, not another person? Well, if they you carry the food of the virus, the growth factor that they love to eat, then they're going to gravitate to you. They're always coming in and out of our system, exploring until they find some food. If they find some food, brothers and sisters, they're going to be like a human being. They're going to set up a shop, and they're going to be comfortable there. And you won't know how to remove them. You have to force them out of yourself. You have to force them out. They won't just leave on their own, especially if things are comfortable and they got free food. They don't have to do any work to get it. You providing them with free food. You go to the health food store, you get those vitamins and minerals, and you don't know how to process them. They're not packaged, prepackaged correctly. And then the microbe will just be sitting there gobbling up on all your nutrients, the iron, the magnesium, the sulfur, the vitamin C, vitamin A. They'll be gobbling all those things up. You think you are nourishing your cell, you're just doing nothing but nourishing the microbes, you're giving them free food to keep living inside of you. And those microbes, the viruses, the bacteria, the protozoa, the fungus, these things produce toxins. And they produce their young ones running around all over the place. They produce toxins. They produce waste. They're not going to hop off of you to go to the bathroom. And that waste go right into the bloodstream. So not only is there nutrients and resources circulating in our blood, it will also be toxic from microbes and waste from microbes circulating in the blood too. And no one is teaching you how to remove that. So the blood goes where? It goes everywhere, brother and sister. It goes everywhere. So micro feed on the food residue and in turn leave toxic in our blood. And you can get rid of the microbes, and then this virus, and then the blood will still have the toxin in it. You can take a vaccine and remove the virus, but that vaccine would not remove the toxin that the virus left behind. Isn't that amazing? How do you remove the toxin from the blood? This is where symptomatry comes in. It has the expertise to remove them. Use subatomic particle to ionize, hydrolyze, oxidize the poison. You can't do it with food. You can't do it with herbs. You can't do it with turmeric and all the other spices and things that people use. Can't do it with vinegar, apple cider vinegar. No, you can't do it with those things. You won't put a dent into the toxins that were circulating in your blood. And that toxin will cause septicemia, viremia, toxemia. All these things will leave a trail of destruction and worthless enzyme in your body. The enzyme will be worthless because they won't be able to do anything for you to help you. That is the first essential that our cell must produce in order to restore our health would be enzymes. And they would not work for you because poison denatured them. That is the number one thing on the list that denatured enzymes will be poison. And you would die from blood poisoning. That's what you end up dying from. And your doctor would call it natural causes. But you were blood poisoning. You ate the wrong food. You didn't know how to remove the residue. You ate food that you could not thoroughly digest because you had an enzyme deficit because of the way you've been eating. No one told you that that's poison in the food, poison denatured enzyme. So you get caught up in that cycle, enzyme deficit. You're eating food that you should not be trying to eat because we don't have the enzyme to digest the enzyme to thoroughly digest them. So residue is left behind. The growth factor for microbes. If you have poison and you don't have certain enzymes, the cell will not even divide for us. You can't, the cells won't divide. If the cell of your heart is not dividing to produce new cells, brothers and sisters, the heart will get weaker and weaker and weaker because the cells must be there to replace what makes the heart strong. And that would be the muscle proteins. But you won't have the muscle protein because you won't have the enzyme for the cell division to produce the 8 muscle proteins. So your heart will be getting weaker and weaker, and the same thing will be happening in the lungs. Same thing will be happening. Heart will get weaker. As weaker the heart gets, it begins to enlarge. If your lung get weak, you have breathing problems. To mention it, the cardiac center, respiratory center, will shut down. And I'm describing to you the process of death from eating food. And we can, of course, we can pray. We can say God called the person home. We can say Yahweh called the person home. Jehovah called the person home. But the Almighty created us to be here on this planet, to do some good, to put things back to normalcy. He sent us here. He wants us here to improve these conditions, and he don't need us where he is. I'm trying to wake us up, brother and sister. Nobody's coming to save us. The Almighty has equipped us with everything that we need. And we must begin to use it. If we don't use it, there's no help coming. He already given us all the help that we need. A person who keeps producing working enzyme. Say again.
I say yes, yes. Right.
Absolutely. This is what happens. If we don't start thinking, using our brain and take this knowledge and information to heart to apply it, the problems are not going to go away. The mental illness is not going to go away. The stubbornness from our children are not going to go away. From my grandchildren, it's not going away, brother and sister. It is the food that we're feeding them that's causing them to become criminals. These are facts. They're undisputed. A person who keeps producing worthless enzyme will be chronically ill because without enzyme, the cell would not even divide. We need to produce kinase and cyclin. Those are the two enzymes for cell division. If the cells would not divide, there's no healthy new cells to replace old, tattered, weak cells. I hope you're getting the idea. I hope you're getting the picture as to what happened to us as we age and as we keep trying to live on this toxic, predatory planet. Very toxic. And it's getting more toxic every day. We're not cleaning up anything. It's getting worse. Because man is so greedy for money. So they don't want to make the changes that need to be made. So we can't depend on those people. We have to depend on each other, brother and sister. We have to tell the truth and do what must be done to correct the problem. That's why we're here. We can't run from the problem. We can't get somebody else to do it. We are here to do it. And our health must be number one. It must take priority over everything that we do. I don't care what endeavor we are engaged in. If we neglect our health, we won't be around for long. And all that work will be for nothing. You get your health back, you empowered to take care of it, you will have the world at your feet. If we don't produce new cell, brother and sister, to take the place of old cell, tattered and decrepit cell will make up organs, will become part of the creps, the membrane, our glands, our blood vessels, stem cells, the lymphatic vessels, all are made of cells. If we're not producing healthy new cells to take the place of old cells, you already know what's going to happen. Things will get weaker and weaker in us. That's why people have to walk with a cane, a walker, or in a wheelchair, because they're weak. They've lost so much energy, and they're getting weaker. If they don't come to St. Thomas and do something about their condition, well, the heart will stop because they'll die from a congested heart failure. The breathing will stop because you need healthy cells in the lung to produce fibrin, to produce titin, to produce all of the other six, the muscle protein, so that the lung could keep expanding and contracting, expanding and contracting. The same thing with the blood vessels, brothers and sisters. Our blood vessels will become hardened, and they won't be able to participate along with the heart to control blood pressure. We eat food high in potassium. They'll cause hardening of the artery. So endothelium cells that help our blood to circulate, they produce nitric oxide, the compound, to help blood circulate. It won't be enough cells there to produce it. So what are you going to do? And more debris from the food left behind, harder it would be for the heart to pump the blood. The blood would be filled with garbage, sludge. You know how much strength it takes for the heart to pump all that foolishness that you've been eating? We've been eating. Your children are eating. Nobody's cooking at home nowadays, brothers and sisters. You don't know what's in the food. Is it really food?
No. Not with the advertising today. No.
They're now making meat in the laboratory for human consumption.
It's not.
And they call it meat. That's because they slap a label on it. Come on, brother.
Yeah,
we got to do better than this.
Right.
Go ahead, Ms. Yvette.
How can someone sell billions of burgers without knowing, without substituting the meat with something else?
Exactly. With something else.
Who sells billions and billions of burgers? Billions now. Let's listen to this. It's not that many animals. So what are they putting in there?
And what are human eating?
What are we consuming? Right. We don't know. But, you know, our Creator gave us free will to choose.
Yes.
He gave us a choice also to seek knowledge. Gave us a brain to seek knowledge.
Yes.
To know what's correct and know what's not correct. You know, we're not badgering the food company because we have to eat.
Exactly.
But we have to know the correct science to go by. We have to listen to things that make sense to us. Listen to our souls, our brains, like, man, this does make sense. Man,
exactly.
I got high cholesterol. You know, something must be right with what they're saying. Because why do I have high cholesterol?
Yes, where
you know, we hear about, right, where's it coming from? Exactly. We hear about, you know, the body heals itself. It does. It really does. But if the gene is not able to release the blueprint to the DNA because the DNA is tattered or crippled because something that we ate, the body's not going to renew itself. And then the symptom is going to occur. That's how symptoms occur. The DNA is fragmented. something happened to it. This is why we have symptoms. So if you have a symptom, something in your body, the DNA didn't get that blueprint to renew that part of the body. It didn't get it. So who fixes that? The correct science, centrometric science, centometry, fixes a fragmented DNA. Because we want our bodies to renew itself. We don't want nothing to stop it at all from renewing itself.
That's right.
Because no one likes to be sick.
No one.
No one likes to be sick. It's not a good feeling. I was sick, and it was not a good feeling. Nope. It wasn't.
Well, you can't smile if you're sick. You can't get a smile at the person if they're sick.
No, you can't. You don't have energy. You know, you just don't want to do anything. You know, and you're feeling bad. Like some people just want to give up. They're so sick. But we can't give up. We just got to fix that fragmented DNA. Okay, so we can keep living. Everybody has a purpose in life. Everybody. Everybody.
Everyone.
And I feel that my purpose is to teach you scientific eating and living. This is what I do as a symptomatology health coach. I teach scientific eating and living. And if you want to know how, visit scientificrecipes.com. where we teach you how to eat scientifically. So let's talk about that. What's eat scientifically? What does that mean? It means that we must choose our foods that will not destroy our enzymes. Enzymes must be produced to make everything in the human body again, everything. To renew our lungs, to renew our skin, to renew our hair, our organs, our systems. We need enzymes. So these foods out here takes up too many enzymes to digest. This is why we have food floating in our blood that's not digested, because we are eating foods that take up all the enzymes that our precious body give us for that day. It only lasts for a day, certain enzymes in our body. We wake up and we get a certain amount of enzymes per day to use. So eating scientifically helps us build the enzyme surplus in our body, so at the end of the day, we have a surplus. So when we sleep in, our body is able to repair itself because we have enough enzymes, is able to have the genes release the blueprint so we can renew everything. This is the correct science. This is the correct science. We want to be able to renew what God gave us, what our Creator gave us. We want to be able to renew our organs and our systems so the body can heal itself. We just got to give it a little assistance. We can't eat corn that takes 3 days of our precious enzymes. We get a certain amount every day. If we eat a corn on the cob, we don't waste the 3 days of enzymes that we get every day.
Right.
So each of those 3 days, we're in an enzyme deficit. What's an enzyme deficit? We don't have enough enzymes to digest the rest of our foods or to protect us when we go outside and come across fumes in the air or gases in the air. We don't have enough enzymes to break it down because we ate that corn for that day. So hopefully we won't get terrible chemicals that's going to send us in a tailspin and knock us off our back. Scientific eating helps you create an enzyme surplus. It teaches you what foods to eat so you won't deplete your precious enzymes that your Creator gave you to renew your organs and your systems. Does that make sense?
All the sense in the world.
Does that make sense, ladies and gentlemen? Does that make sense? If it makes sense to you, that's the correct science. This is what we're teaching, the correct science. If you want to know a little bit more about scientific eating and living, you can feel free to visit
scientificrecipes.com. Okay, and I'll be happy to teach you a little bit more about it. Thank you, Mr. Sheep, for allowing me to say that. I do appreciate that.
Yes. So we're going to continue to bring home about food. Food,
yes.
Brother and sister, is a necessary evil. This is another way to look at food.
It's
a necessary evil. If we can get
necessary
around food,
evil.
Boy, we can really be healthy on this planet. But we can't get
yeah.
around food. Because
yeah.
if we don't eat food,
nope.
we're going to die of starvation. And if we eat food, we're going
right.
to be sick. Well, what are we going to do?
That's right.
Science
mm-hmm.
can help us to
we
select our
science.
Food.
Right.
Yeah.
The correct
and
science.
Cook our
yes.
food.
Yes.
Properly.
Yes.
Scientifically. This is what it, this
yes.
is what it takes, brothers and sisters, because if we poison ourselves with the food, our heart
mm-hmm.
is going to be weak. Our blood vessels, our
yes.
venue is going to be weak.
Mm-hmm.
And poison
mm-hmm.
is going to be throughout our 11th system.
Mm-hmm.
And you have your heart will get weaker and weaker. The stomach muscle will get weak. And we will have sludge in the lining of the stomach. And we caught up in that cycle where less and less of our food will be digested. Everything will begin to break down. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
a sad state of affairs because nothing is being renewed. Every part of our body,
right.
Ms. Yvette, you know this, have a cycle of renewal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you eat the wrong food and you got garbage and you denature the enzyme, that cycle will
mm-hmm.
not work.
Mm-mm.
And the organs and the tissue will become weaker and weaker and weaker. Blood vessels, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what happened. We're describing what happened in the human body when we eat the wrong food or we don't cook our food properly. We are describing
mm-hmm.
what happened. If the heart gets weak,
yeah.
it's going to get enlarged,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be congested heart failure that the person is going to have. We already know people who have this situation. All you have to do is look at their life and talk to them a few minutes. They'll tell you what they ate and what happened. The heart got weak.
Mm-hmm.
The heart just don't just get weak on its own. It is designed
mm-hmm.
to keep pumping and keep pumping and keep pumping as long as we're alive.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
We eat garbage, garbage in, garbage out. Same thing
mm-hmm.
if you program your computer with garbage and you use up all the memories on it, you think it's going to function properly?
Nope.
No. You got to clean it up.
Nope.
Yeah, the first thing, well, when the last time you cleaned up your computer? Well, when the last time you cleaned up your cells?
Mm-hmm.
That's how we should relate it to our own body. The same thing is happening. Same thing is happening on a cellular
yes,
level.
Yes, the body requires maintenance. Yes, yes.
Right.
The body requires
you maintain your
maintenance.
Cell phone. You maintain
right.
your computer.
You maintain
you
our
maintain
car.
You maintain your car. All this
yeah.
garbage is
our
everywhere
clothes,
in the car. You
we iron our clothes. We take showers.
Yeah.
We maintain our body, but we have to maintain the inside of our bodies too.
We have to inside, the most important part.
Yes.
If you don't take care of the inside, all kinds of things be growing on your skin.
Yes. Yes.
Pimples.
Yes.
Rising,
exactly.
Swelling.
Yes.
You wonder what is the thing turning into here?
Yeah.
You'll be
exactly
surprised.
Like my son has psoriasis. He suffers with
yeah.
psoriasis because he can't stop eating cheese, eggs,
right.
ice cream, shakes. Oh, he loves those.
Love those things.
Shakes, ice creams. Even though his mom is a health coach, he, you know, everybody, again, has their own mind. They make their
exactly.
own choices. Just because he don't, you know, follow scientific eating, he has to make his own choices. He has to hit his own head.
Right. Got to get punished.
Before he realized, you know. But, hey, when,
you're telling
when
the
he
truth.
Home,
you've been
you
telling
know,
the
he
truth
has to
all
eat
the time.
What I eat, you know. Yeah. Yeah. So,
absolutely.
Of course, you know, we helped him. We gave him some particulars to clean him out, and the psoriasis went away.
That's
it
what
went
happened.
Away.
Give the cell
and
what they
and
need,
believe it or not,
the condition can be reversed.
Yeah. Yes, it can. Yes, it can be reversed. Yes, it can. And you know, he knows that. He knows that. So he goes
yeah.
and he cheats again, right?
Oh, yeah. That's what children
that.
Are going to do. And there were adults, a lot of adults do the same thing. They come back to pentameter.
Exactly.
Exactly. But one day you'll get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
exactly.
They go back to
but you're getting stronger each time. Yeah.
Yes.
But you get stronger each time. You get stronger each time. Let me relay that.
Absolutely.
He's getting stronger each time because he don't like that feeling. Yeah,
exactly.
He can't resist
learning.
Sometimes,
he's
but
do.
He's learning. But thank God we have a reversal.
Yeah.
Okay, that will clear it up. Okay.
Absolutely.
I can't, you know, be like when he was young, you know, keep it from him. Like, nope, I'm going to let you suffer with that psoriasis because you shouldn't have ate that. Nope, I can't do it now because he's grown. He make his own money. He buy it.
Exactly. Nothing
see,
you can do.
So I can't do that. But all, but
you
I
have to
give
continue
him
to pause himself till you wake up.
Exactly. I have to give him his
that's
free
what,
will.
That's what happens.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what happens.
But he's learning.
They'll come around.
He's learning. And everybody has
yeah.
to learn. Everybody has to make their own decisions. That's what I want to emphasize. Everybody makes their own decisions. You're making your own
exactly
decision
right.
by listening to the radio show tonight. Because you want to learn a little bit more about food. You want to learn a little bit more why we get sick. You want to learn a little bit more about your health. This is why you're here tonight. You're making
exactly.
that choice, so you want to heal. You just need a little bit more help. You just need a little bit more push, like push me in there. You know, you just need
exactly.
a little bit more push. I know it's hard. I know it's hard to let go of them cheesy lasagnas, them double cheeseburger, Big Mac, and fries. I know it's hard.
Mm-hmm. All of that
McDonald's, apple pie.
All that stuff.
Yes.
French fries.
Oh, we know it's hard.
It's good. It tastes good. It smells good.
Yes. Yes.
But not
but
good for you.
What did they put in there to make it taste good? What did they put in there to make it addicting? Why do we go get them every time we go grocery shopping? Because something
absolutely.
Is in there that's keeping us addicted. We have to
yes.
think about that. You think about that when you're shopping. What is in here that's making me addicted to this product? Is it the taste? But, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to say that after you eat that Intamin's pound cake with ice cream, you know tomorrow
what?
You forgot you ate that? You forgot
true,
you
that's
ate
right.
that tomorrow. But your body didn't. Your body didn't forget. It did not forget.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
But you forget. Because you buy it again.
Exactly. Do the same thing
you
all
forget.
Over again. See, that's
yeah.
where the mind and the body have to be working together.
Mm-hmm. And some people say, oh, well, I've been eating this all my life. Ain't nothing ever happened to me. But what do your blood report?
That's where the truth lies, and the body cannot lie. It can't lie on any level. The body cannot lie on any level. Tell the truth every time.
So, yeah, so I was like, when I first got my blood report, I was scared to eat because I didn't know what was causing that problem. I'm like, what? No way. Now I'm in the store trying to find the foods with the less enzymes so I can have an enzyme surplus tonight. But
much of the stuff on the shelf, you have to leave it. You have to leave it on the shelf because nothing in there can help
right.
you.
Right. Even the fruits, the so-called fruits.
Yeah.
Fruits. People love banana pudding. You know that banana got
yeah.
7-8 different diseases? A banana?
All those different diseases from banana. Oh, man.
A banana? Man, banana
pudding. I didn't know there were many diseases
what?
That a plant could have.
Yes, I love the banana pudding. It's so good and crunchy with them vanilla wafers. But after I learned it got 7-8 different diseases, I put that down. Mm-mm.
Nope. It's the same thing with apples. 37 different diseases from apples.
Yes.
37
yes.
different diseases that apple will have.
Yeah, gives you. But they tell you apple a day keeps the doctor away.
Well, it must be a lie because those people are always in the doctor's office.
Or your teeth falling out, your teeth is loose,
yeah.
and you wonder why.
When you get
it's cracked,
dry,
your gums
you
are receding.
No eat an apple.
You're drinking apple juice, and you're drinking apple right. juice. Wondering why your teeth is your gums are receding. Your teeth is falling out.
Absolutely.
Why
and
you got diabetes?
Tell you. Yeah, your dentist would never tell you, warn you, or
nope.
don't eat the apple.
Nope.
All the enamel will be
you.
Going off your teeth. The
mm-hmm.
acid is so strong.
Nope.
It mm-hmm. never would tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And your doctor would never go
so
over this? Your blood analysis with you. He's too scared.
Mm-hmm.
You might it might wake you up.
Yeah, you notice that they never ask you what you eat.
Exactly.
They never ask you what you eat. It's why you got
Mr.
these
ben,
symptoms. Why
raised.
You got
I
diabetes,
got
high blood pressure.
Somebody brave enough to raise their hand. Let's go to them. 718-806. Your mic is open.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum, nutritional doctors. I just want to
mm-hmm.
ask you, I'm hearing the, everything that's not good for you. What are the few foods that are good for you?
Well, that's a good question. I can't tell you all of them. I can give you a few of them. So if
yes,
I
sir.
Tell you all of them, there'll be no need to listen to the program.
Well, help us out. Help us out.
Yeah, we'll help you out a little bit. Okay, when it comes to starchy food, here's some clues. Avoid heavy starchy food, heavy starch. We need to eat light starchy food. When it comes to protein,
mm-hmm.
avoid eating
yeah.
heavy protein.
Heavy.
Eat light
mm-hmm.
protein and complete
light
protein.
Protein.
Like, well, what kind of food is that, sir?
I'm going to tell you. I'm just. But you need to know this. I'm going to tell you some. But I'm telling you what you need to know. There are different in everything. Everything is not the same. There are
mm-hmm.
heavy starch, there are light starch. There are incomplete protein, and there are complete protein. There are heavy protein, light protein.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? There's when it comes to oils, our cells need oil. But what kind of oil? What kind
mm-hmm.
of fat? What kind
mm-hmm.
of protein? There are five food groups. There's sugar, starch, protein, fats, and oil. And our cells need all combination of them. And since we are human, that means animal, we're made of protein. Everything about the human being is protein, not
mm-hmm.
cellulose. Cellulose comes from plants. Cellulose
mm-hmm.
is starch, another name for starch. Cellulose is made
mm-hmm.
up of a network of sugar. All those things
mm-hmm.
are plants. Are we plants? That's a question for you. Are we plants?
We carnivorous.
We're
meat eaters.
Are we plants or animals?
Here we go.
Animal.
Okay.
Just said
that
it.
Means protein. That means protein. We should consume
mm-hmm.
more protein than starch. That's what that means. We should eat more of what we're made of, giving ourselves what they need. Then we're gonna give you a few examples. We should consume protein, mostly. 75% protein, 25% starch. Now I'm asking you another question. Would it be problematic for a human being to pigeonhole themselves to be a vegan or vegetarian based on what I just shared with you?
Problematic to be what and what?
A vegan or a vegetarian.
According to what you're saying, the vegetarian vegan doesn't have that much protein.
Absolutely.
There you
so
go.
How are you going to produce enzyme?
Go.
How are you going to produce enzyme without protein? See, we got to start thinking.
There
you
go. Now, let
you
me ask you
it.
Again, what are some of the foods
I'm
that you
give
can't
you some.
Eat?
If you be patient. I'm trying to lead you somewhere so you can be on your own, be responsible for yourself, and you can use the logic to determine what you're going to eat.
There you go.
Because you're not going to be listening to this
mm-hmm.
program when you go into the supermarket. You're going
mm-hmm.
to be complete protein, incomplete protein. What make a protein complete? The number of amino acids. If you heard me earlier, I said that the DNA is made up of 20 amino acids. Where do you think they come from? Come from protein. Protein or complete protein because of the number of amino acids. Plants are incomplete protein because of the few amino acids that they have. Now, if you want to eat something that's healthy, doesn't it make sense to have the complete rather than the incomplete?
Right.
Okay. When it comes to starchy food, light starchy food matters. So something like farina, couscous, long grain white basmati rice, pasta, egg-free, no eggs.
Let me ask you something. Scientific food understander. What's the problem with milk, eggs, potatoes, and tomatoes? I forgot the tomatoes and potatoes. And what's the problem with the eggs and the dairy, or the eggs and the milk?
Okay, here's the problem. Phosphorus, protein. If you consume phosphorus protein, you remember those amino acids that make up the DNA?
No.
Do you remember them? Do you remember the DNA I was talking about earlier? It's made up of 20 amino acids. Now, if you eat dairy, which is a phosphorus protein, eggs, the same thing, have more phosphorus protein, will destroy or compromise 3 of the amino acids in your DNA, and that is enough to make it fragmented, where the gene will never release the blueprint to a fragmented DNA, and the cell will be compelled. This is the law that I'm giving you. It's a fact of life. It has nothing to do with Abdul Shaheed. The cell will be compelled to produce symptoms and disease. That's the problem. The eggs have saturated fat. Human beings do not need saturated fat. Plants need saturated fat. Animals that live in the wild need saturated fat. We don't live in the wild. We live in a shelter. We live in a home. We live in a hut. We live in a tent. And if we consume saturated fat, it would have too much drag on blood, too much drag to produce brain essential, body essential, too much drag to produce enzyme. You won't be able to do it. Saturated fat will cause the cell membrane to become calcified. Nothing get in, nothing get out. In cytometry, we call that cellular lockdown because nothing will get into the cell in terms of nutrients and resources, and nothing will get out of the cell in terms of toxin and waste. That is the perfect condition for cancer to come into existence because the conditions are favorable. If you that's what you want, then that's how you eat. And don't wonder why you have
to. I heard you in another program said don't drink milk or eggs. You know, you've given the truth about that. Now you're going to tell me a couple of foods I can't eat?
Let me share something else about milk. There's no mammal on earth that drink milk after it has been weaned from its mother. Find me one. Not one on earth. Now, why is human drinking milk after they've been weaned from their mother? And if when all food have calcium, why milk is the emphasis? All food on planet Earth have calcium. So that's a lie to say you need milk. You need the milk for calcium. What is milk for? To make money off of you, to make money off of us. That's why it exists. That's why people sell you nuts and seeds that have hydrocyanic acid, cyanide, and arsenic, and saturated fat, and fungus. All nuts have fungus. If you eat one, you have fungus inside of you. All microbes use fungus to hide in.
All right, good brother. Now, be so kind. Just give me 5 foods that I should eat.
I just gave you 5. I said couscous, farina, long grain white basmati rice.
Those are good for you.
Those are the good ones. That's when it comes to starchy food. When it comes to fruit,
they don't have protein in them, though.
But they do have sugars.
All right, what foods can I eat that have protein in them?
Well, I'm going to give you some of those, too. We need
starch. I gave you the five food groups. We need starch. We need sugar. We need protein. We need fats. And we need oil. And we need a combination of all those. 75% protein, 25% starch. Now I'm giving you the starchy food. Now here's some protein food. Lamb.
Yes, sir.
Bison. Turkey. Chicken. Goat. Okay.
Then thank you very fish. Much. I appreciate that.
Then you have fish. No seafood scavengers. Scavenger
right.
would be no scavenger would be
clams.
Shrimp,
yeah,
lobster,
the Honorable Elijah Muhammad
oysters.
Told us that how they to live.
Exactly, but Muslims are eating them today. Muslims are eating scavengers.
Yeah, 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 that's true. But you saying the scavengers, they eat the dirt from the bottom of the ocean.
They clean up the ocean, and in the ocean are toxic metal. It is toxic
yeah,
metal
I can understand that. That's why we shouldn't eat scavengers. Brother, I want to
and
thank you so very much for those tips. I'm going to let you go on with your show. I really appreciate it. May God make it easy on you. Make it easy on you. And may Allah make it easy on you, you and your guests.
Make it easier on all of us. Thank you so very much. And we appreciate your patience to put up with me. We appreciate your patience. Salaam alaikum. Press one on your phone. I can mute your mic for another caller. Thank you so very much for being brave enough to ask the question. That was good. But my effort was trying to get the person to use logic, because it's not just naming the food. I can give you all of the fortified foods, but I want you to be equipped with the information, the rationale, why those foods were chosen. They have the least amount of health disruptors, and they offer the cell need to utilize to produce brain essential, body essential, and cell essential. See, there's an objective to what we're trying to do. If we give ourselves what they need in terms of nutrients and resources and food, then the cells have the ability to take the food and rebuild every part of our body. But it is because we eat food that the food will produce debris. These are things that we have to do after eating food. That is the maintenance and the repair work. Because debris is going to be left behind, whether we eat healthy food or whether we eat unhealthy food. There's work that we must do.
Right. Got to clean it up.
Yes. Our body is high maintenance. People don't want to deal with the maintenance. They just want to talk about what they can eat. Nutrition is not health, brother and sister. You have to do more than just eat food. What happens after eating? You must know what happens. So just telling you about what to eat and you think you're going to be healthy, that is not how it works.
You got to know how much
it's
to
more
eat of
than
that protein.
Yeah, how much to eat,
you know?
How often you're going to eat, and what's going on with the air you breathe, what's going on with the water you're drinking.
Even though
it's
lamb is healthy for you. Yeah, even though he mentioned lamb that we eat, lamb is good, but it has saturated fat. So you don't want to eat too much lamb.
Exactly.
You only eat
you
a small portion.
You got to cook it properly.
Then you got to cook it properly. Right. You have to learn to cook these proteins properly to release the amino acids. You know,
right.
People who
that's your object.
Fast cook foods and put meats on the grill, you're not going to get any amino acids because it wasn't cooked long enough.
And health going to be denied.
You're just eating it to fill the belly. That's all you're doing, barbecues and things. You're eating to fill the belly. But when you eat scientifically, you know how to cook that meat slowly. So in the morning, you got all them amino acids to feed your cell what it needs.
That's
see,
how you get
you can
there.
Name all the
more
meats in the world.
Food.
Yeah, yeah. They talk about chicken all the time. Chicken is bad for you. Don't eat too much chicken. Chicken's not bad if you know how to cook it.
Yeah,
to release
it's how
the amino acids that's in it. You know?
Exactly.
If you fry it all the time, you're not going to get the amino acids.
And you fry it with the wrong oil on top of that. So you have a mess.
On top of it. There
fat.
You go.
Then you remove the skin.
That cholesterol kick in. Yes.
Exactly. Then you got to deal with the disease from the chicken.
Right.
That's
an incubator for
yeah.
viruses. That's why they're always mm-hmm. using chicken to test those vaccines.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let me stop
exactly.
laughing. I'm sorry. But
exactly.
we have to learn what's going on here.
Yeah.
And when people
yeah.
talk about health, the first thing, Miss Yvette, they want to know, what do I eat? You've been eating all the time, and look where you are. There's more to it
mm-hmm.
than eating food.
Mm-hmm.
So let's learn the other part first. Then we can talk about food because everybody eats food. Let's learn about what
mm-hmm.
else has to be done to be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
If you just focus on food, brother and sister, you won't be healthy. Even healthy
nope.
food will make you sick because somewhere along the line you
yep.
got to learn about the debris and the sludge and the concretion. If you
mm-hmm.
don't remove that stuff, then
mm-hmm.
health denied.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
keep putting
yeah.
more food on top of it. And microbes will be
mm-hmm.
loving you because your body will be filled
mm-hmm.
with them. So it's not just about food.
Mm-hmm.
I hope we.
I thought I was eating healthy, Mr. Shaheed.
Me
know,
too.
I thought I was eating healthy for years. I was a vegetarian. Like, oh, meat is bad for you. I'm not eating no meat. That's what I read on the internet.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be a vegetarian. So I'm going to be a vegetarian for years, 8 years. And guess
yes.
what happened? Guess what happened to me? Guess what happened
what
to
happened
me?
What happened to you? You had high cholesterol, right? Eating plants.
I got high blood pressure that I've never had before.
Yeah, eating plants.
Eating, being a vegetarian, eating plants.
Yes.
Eating avocados.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm like, how did that, no way. But yes, it did. Why? I was bombarding my system with starch.
Yes.
From
starch
plants,
is a problem for
from potatoes,
beans.
From beans.
Yes.
I was substituting all that.
Orlando.
And I wasn't giving my body amino acids.
Exactly. You were avoiding
I wasn't giving
amino
it
acids.
The right protein. They told me, vegetables got protein.
We have one other hand raise, so let's go to it.
Oh, okay.
We have only a few minutes
left.
We're going to go to this hand raise. 111, your mic is open.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, Sister Amina. I know that boy. Thank you
yes,
for tuning in.
Yes, it is
today.
I.
Hello.
It is Sister Amina. It is Mr.
Hi.
I just wanted to reach you all, and I'm so sorry I'm coming on late. I've been gone all day, and I just got back not too long ago.
I was late, too.
I got a call from my oldest son. We're trying to help my other son, and we got to talking, about.
Yes.
So I'm just not. I said, oh, my goodness, the program. I didn't even, I was trying to get on.
You're having so much fun.
I meant to get on before.
You're having so much fun.
Yes, sir.
Today's been all about
But
food.
I just wanted
all
to say,
food.
Yes, yes, sir. I just wanted to say, excellent, excellent. I'm going to try to go and listen back on the replay.
Yes.
Of the program because I have I have a computer where I have access to be able to turn the program on, but I don't know. I'm going to try.
I'll send you the link. No problem. I'll send you the link after the show is over.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. And you all keep doing what you're doing and keep encouraging the people because we need help out here. I'm telling you, there's so
yes.
many. People are sick. I'm talking about in our community. People are sick and they're going for the opiate. They're giving up and they're not taking their health in their own hands. It's just kind of like, well, whatever, they're so used to doing what they already were doing.
Whatever gonna happen. Yeah. Yeah, I hear it all the time.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to encourage
mm-hmm.
as many people as I can in my family and because, my sons and daughters and nieces and nephews out of state and the believers that are close to me and their families, I just let them know about symptometry.
Absolutely.
That's all I could do,
That's all anybody can do. Let them know.
Yeah.
Let them make
and
their
make
choice.
Make dua, because, you know, our muezzin is back in the hospital again. You know who I'm talking about, our brother.
Yes, I know who you're talking about, and I heard that yesterday.
Yeah.
So
and that's all because he won't take care of himself. He won't take care of himself, and, you know. So, I don't know. People have the information.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Absolutely.
Assalamu
alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. I guess that's our cue to get ready to get out of here. Get too fast. I'm trying to start playing music. Well, we certainly have enjoyed our time today on Optimal Health, and we hope our listeners learned something in the process. We hope our listeners learned something in the process. That's all we can do, Ms. Yvette. Present the information.
Yeah.
Invite people to check out the commentary, the most natural and scientific means to address the needs of human cells. Matter of fact, a support system for our cells and DNA. And our blood, a support system. We have a support system in symptometry, brothers and sisters. There are too many people sick, and there are too many people dying. There's too many people sick and dying. Those are the choices. And nobody's getting better. Nobody's being cured. Nowhere in the world. Nobody's coming to save us, brothers and sisters. We must take this knowledge, this information, and apply it to our own self, and then we'll see the difference. That's what we're so adamant about, making a difference. And we need more people to apply the symptometric science. And then you'll know for yourself. You won't be trying to guess about it or be in doubt and have skepticism. We pray for the help to come from God, and it comes, and we refuse to help. We question everything, but we don't question the people who's killing us with the drugs and the herbs and the food. Food is more problematic today than pharmaceuticals. We can't just keep blaming the pharmaceutical company and don't say nothing about the farmers and the food producers. There's enough blame to go around, but ultimately, it is our fault. We all have a human body, and it's our responsibility, brother and sister, to take care of it. So we thank you for joining us today. I ask you to come back next week, same time. And also, please go to the website of the American School of Symptometry, not for profit. It is amsos.org. Many articles there, brother and sister, information about the school and how to become a student. Go there, please. And please join us also on tomorrow on IWDM Blog Talk Radio, on a program called The Science of Health and You, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And all you have to do is dial in to 714-816-4673. No passcode is needed to join us, ask questions, and to participate. Also, on Saturday and Sunday, we have this program called The Morning Tylene. Please join us. 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern Time by dialing into 267-876-3648. And the passcode is 289-2322#. Please join us. We'll be sharing more information about how to achieve optimal health. Brothers and sisters, if you have a need to contact us, you may reach us at 678-572-7269. Our email is ajaheed2@gmail.com. Please stay tuned to Maya Ali Kuli High with Imam Abdul Aziz, the Imam of Masjid Adam, the Center of Human Excellence in Bronx, New York. Please stay tuned for him. He's coming right after us. We greet everyone with the greeting of peace, and we thank our guests. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. Thank you, everyone.
Thank
peace.
You.
Yeah, it sounds like a mouth.
What are you talking about? Quick question. Do you have any, those prayer books, man, from Brother Fareem?
No.
You have any prayer books?
Yeah, I got some copy stuff.
All right. All right, because I just gave some shahadas to some young brothers. So I wanted, maybe when we do the prayer class, I want them to have the prayer
back, you know. All right,
I'm gonna get it from you. I'm
gonna
try to get Vernon Fareed's book too, man.
Yeah, but you gotta call his wife, man.
Yeah. You all right, though?
Yeah, I'm trying to get this radio broadcast going.
All right, man, I'm sorry to hold you up.
Nah, it's all right. I ain't even started yet. All right, so let go.
Wareth Deen Muhammad, also known as W. Deen Muhammad, or Imam W. Deen Muhammad, was a progressive African-American Muslim leader, theologian, philosopher, Muslim revivalist and Islamic thinker who disbanded the original Nation of Islam in 1976 and transformed it into an orthodox mainstream Islamic movement, the World Community of Al-Islam in the West, which later became the American Society of Muslims. He was a son of Elijah Muhammad, the leader of the Nation of Islam from 1933 to 1975. He became the national leader of the Nation of Islam in 1975 after his father's death. As a result of his personal studies and thinking, he had led the vast majority of the members of the original NOA to mainstream, traditional Sunni Islam by 1978. With this merger, he oversaw the largest mass conversion to Islam in the history of the United States. He rejected the previous deification of Wallace Fard Muhammad, except...
Welcome to another edition of Muslim News Magazine.
Strive for will soon be seen. Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. Nothing comes to a sleeper but a dream.
We are people who are responsible for the conduct of our life. We are responsible for implementing the Islamic teachings, the instructions, and carrying those instructions out in our life. We are responsible for a planned life. We just can't have a haphazard life. That won't be accepted. We have to have a planned life. And the plan for our life is already given. We are not to invent a plan. That would be un-Islamic. We are to go to the Quran and go to the Sunnah and get the information for our life. And then apply it. And if we apply it and live by it, we are living a planned Muslim life. That's the important word. A planned Muslim life.
For the past 16 years, Imam Wareth Deen Muhammad has been a strong source of spiritual leadership for millions of Muslims throughout America. Imam Muhammad first came into leadership in 1975 after the death of his father, Elijah Muhammad. In 1976, he held his first press conference to announce major changes in the then called Nation of Islam.
The most profound change that was made was the change in the belief that God is black or manifest in black flesh, and that the devil is white or manifest in Caucasian flesh. This was, most disturbing change, if I could put it that way, the most disturbing change that have taken place. But it has been in accord with the direction, if not with the teachings of Honorable Elijah Muhammad. That change is in accord with the direction of Honorable Elijah Muhammad, because he gradually influenced the thinking of the membership in that direction. And it is definitely, as all of you will recognize, it is definitely in accord with the Quran, the book that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad established in the Nation of Islam as the supreme guide for the organization.
I support the leadership in Muhammad is totally, in one word. I mean, I've supported him ever since, as I supported his father beforehand. My transition was behind his leadership, and I'm fully in support, and the community in which I'm the imam of supports the leadership of Imam Muhammad.
If there is a more positive influence in America, I know of none. Imam Wahdi Muhammad, in his submission to Almighty God Allah, in his teaching of the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, in his seeking out the best conduct, the best civility for his people, and addressing the needs of our people on an economic level, on a political level, and above all, on a spiritual level, the black consciousness that we need so badly to tone the morals of our people is an outstanding achievement. By any standard of achievement, there is no greater achievement than the moral excellence that has to be put back in our people with dedication to education and excellence in the academic and economic world.
During his first 10 years of leadership, many noticeable changes took place. In a 1985 interview, Imam Muhammad reflects.
Well, I evaluate it as an experience, and also a situation, experience that allowed us to prove ourselves. We proved ourselves. Under the honor of Elijah Muhammad, we said that we were a people of good intent, that we intended good, that we meant well, and that we were sincere in our beliefs. When the right knowledge came, and most of us put aside that was not right and in conflict with what is true Islam, a true religion, I think we proved something. We proved something importantly to ourselves.
In 1976, when many of us were withdrawing from the drug of race consciousness, Imam Muhammad told his supporters, who were willing to put belief in one God above black nationalism, to remake the world, consistent with a view of one humanity.
We are all grateful also to our loving Imam, Warisidi Muhammad, who is my imam before your imam, whether you like it or not. Because when he took over, I was among the first pioneers to go and congratulate him. And instead of praying behind me before he became the chief imam, I told him, now you are my personal imam before you are imam to everybody. I still love him, respect him, honor him, and I do admire his achievement in this part of the world.
I bring before you now our Imam, the Honorable Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad.
Takbir! Takbir! Takbir!
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be on you. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. We witness that there is but one God, the Lord, creator of all the worlds. We do not associate with him any as God or as the deity. And we witness that Muhammad, the last prophet, is God's messenger and servant. The peace and the blessings, the prayers and the peace be on him. and all of what follows of that excellent salute to Muhammad, the messenger of God. Ameen. Now my talk will be within this theme, the conference theme, the Quran as the foundation for society. You see, Quran is the foundation for society, for Muslim society, first of all. But whatever we know, that the hope of Muslims is to see what Allah has revealed become the way, the accepted way for all people. Muslims' hope is the same as humanity's hope. That's my statement. That's my opening statement. Muslims' hope is the same as humanity's hope. Now I want to read from this book. Let's see if I can. I got some glasses too, and I need them. I want to read this little small portion of this book as the light shineth, and it's titled Human Nature is Black. Now let me explain, though it's going to be explained in the reading, let me explain before we began the reading that we don't mean black in actual color. We don't mean black in actual color. Now let me begin reading. It is very important for us to understand the idea of man being black before he was any other color. It doesn't mean physical blackness. It's talking about human nature. It's talking about intelligence potential. The intelligence potential is in darkness. It is born out of darkness. Just by its own potential, is able to produce light. The intelligence of the human being in darkness without any knowledge, by effort in itself, or by itself, is able to bring about light or whiteness. Now here, we're using the term for color again, whiteness. So I must explain right here, or emphasize, because it's explained within this piece of reading, I believe, that by white we don't mean actual color white. Whiteness means light, not physical light, the light of knowledge. Where did Dr. Farad get this concept? Now, who are we talking about, Dr. Farad? We're talking about the teacher of the late leader of the Nation of Islam, or the Lost Foundation of Islam, or the black Muslims, Elijah Muhammad, Elijah Muhammad's teacher, who's called Farad. It's spelled F-A-R-D, but it's pronounced F-A-R-A-D, Farad. Where did Dr. Farad, and he's called Professor Farad, he's called Dr. Farad, and he's called something that's forbidden, God in the person of the man, or God in the flesh, you know. And he's called by me the satirist in the wilderness or in the forest. Where did Dr. Farad get this concept? Out of Genesis. Genesis said that there was darkness upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. And God said, quote, "Let there be light," and there was light, end quote. So white came out of darkness, according to Genesis. Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be on him, speaking to his companions, pointed to Bilal. Now, who is Bilal? Bilal is the first muezzin, and muezzin, that term is an Arabic term. It's actually an Islamic term. See, I want the imam to start explaining more to our audience. When we say an Arabic term, if it's Islamic language, if it wasn't used before Islam, though it's Arabic, it is more correctly Islamic. Don't you call your names Christian names? And what were they? English names. But once they become part of your religion, the language of your religion, then those are Christian names. So let's not give the Arabic language or the Arab race or the Arab people more than they are due. They didn't have these terms before Islam. That's what we have to understand. So let me repeat that. This is Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be on him, speaking to his companions, pointed to Bilal. This is from a tradition, and said to them, "We all are Bilal." What did he mean by that? That we all are Bilal. Black never in the history of the human rise in civilization was intended to mean skin blackness as a sign of inferiority. It was always intended to mean the blackness of human nature. Human nature is a dark form, but out of that form comes the light of intelligence and knowledge, the science and everything that lights the world. Where did it come from? It comes out of the dark matter of human nature. The Holy Quran says that God makes his man of, and this is translation, Hamiyam Masnoon is translated, black, stinky mud, fashioned into shade. Gave him refinement, high principles, high human dignity, and then he, meaning God, gives him, meaning the man, something, and also the woman, something of his own inspiration we may call divine inspiration. And he told the dry, rational-minded people who think that nothing can be or exist unless discovered with dry, rational tools or empirical instruments, that inspiration cannot come to man. God tells the dry-brained, rational so-called scientists in the Holy Quran, oh, God says, "Nevertheless, when I have breathed into him of my spirit, fall ye down and submit to him." What does this idea gives us in the Quran? That man is made from black, stinky mud. It means that certainly the human being has flesh odor, this physical flesh of ours. It will have an odor. It will have odor. If the earth is rich, doesn't it smell too? Now, you people from the South who farm, had gardens and worked in the farm, you know exactly. You had the pictures very clear and vivid for you. If the earth is dead like sand, does it smell? No. If the earth is alive, it is called humus, and doesn't it have a smell? Yes, it does. And the more smell it has, doesn't it do more work to grow more life? Yes. I'm adding these yeses in here, noes, you see. The smell is the sign of life. It means something is alive there. Angel has no smell. We call it stinky. But in the nostrils of God, if we can think of God having nostrils, it is not stinking. It is a matter for aiding the growth of life. Do you think your sex stinks in the nostrils of God? It stinks only when you abuse it. Only when you degrade it. Abuse it. Have sex out of lawful marriage. Disappoint your mate, your good husband or your good wife. That's when sex stinks. And your body. Do you think that when you sweat, the sweat bothers God? Do you think the musk that comes from your body when you are working hard bothers God? No. God has made it to bother you so you would do some washing. The Holy Quran frees our minds from those old, dark, primitive, savage kinds of concepts. It dignifies us and makes it possible for us to even live comfortable life in our own individual world. It unifies the man's physical life with his spiritual aspiration. It makes it possible for them, meaning the man, to shake hands with natural life and say, "Brother, I'm glad to know that you are my Siamese twin, that we are one flesh," to a natural man, natural life. Yes, this is the religion. All praise are due to God, to Allah, that is. Dear beloved people, let us wake up. There is too much to be said to say it today. We'll continue at a future time, and I hope we'll continue where we're leaving off today. Go home, do your work, do work, and have that you have to do in your home. Feed your children. Get ready for your tomorrow. But never put down the work of advancing this message. When I say your brothers and sisters, I'm using your language, your brother and your sister is any human, man, woman, or child on the face of this earth. We're talking in the context of what is human, what is truly human. Allah says, and I repeat, that He made us tribes and families that we should recognize or acknowledge each other and not despise each other. This is the word of God in the Quran. And God has said in the Quran that He has made all men, all people. He Himself is the creator of every man, of all life, of everything. And He says that He has created the man in the best form, in the best mold, in the best design. And He says again that He has dignified all people on this earth. You don't need anybody to give you a false dignity. Know your original nature and come into the guidance of God, and you will find that your dignity is a permanent, innate, inborn, original, and original dignity. Nobody has to give you a false, artificial dignity. Now, I wanted to read that as an introduction to this talk or this presentation today. Now, I want to go back where with that statement that I made about our hope being the hope, same hope that we identify as the hope of humanity. And we identify this hope in the progression of Scripture, not just Scripture to Muhammad, but as Allah says in the Quran, Scripture also before Muhammad. that we believe in the Scripture revealed to Muhammad, and also that was revealed before him. Now, let me make this very clear, which I believe most of us know, but some of us I don't think we have registered it. It is not only talking about the Bible that came before the Quran. It didn't say the Torah or the Old Testament and the Injil, the Gospel. It didn't say that. It says, and believe in that was revealed before you, meaning Muhammad the Prophet, before your time. It means all Scripture, going back to Adam. If Adam received the word, it includes that. Whatever God has revealed to human beings in the whole time of the life of man and society on this earth, we have to acknowledge it and say we believe in that too. Though we don't even have it anymore, we can't go and find it and read it, but we must believe in it. When we believe like that, what it does for us? It puts our soul, our spirit, and our mind in good situation. But when we got a big dark area hanging behind us, it burdens the spirit. It burdens us, and we're not even aware of it. The Quran frees us in many ways that most of us will never know. Yes, let me continue now. The hope of humanity. I have here also, I say human creations, tradition of excellence is man's hope. That's his hope. There's a traditional excellence that we see evolving from the most primitive or the most backward days of man to the most modern or to the most advanced days of man. We see a tradition of excellence. Excellent behavior on the part of the family, the children, everybody. Excellent behavior on the part of the professional people, the builders, the grocery people, the commercial people. Excellence on the part of government. Excellence. This is the excellence that we hope for. It's evolving. It gets better and better all the time. Though we are now perhaps a burden more than human beings have been burdened any other time, but our burden now is more the burden of stress. We are living a stressful life, perhaps more so than the human beings have ever lived on the whole any other time in the life of man. But that doesn't mean that our conditions are worse. Our conditions are better now than at any other time than we can read of or imagine. Yes. That doesn't mean we don't have problems. We have plenty. And especially we. Now, a term in Scripture, light, is found in Genesis and also in the Quran. Now, I'm going to go to Genesis and see, can we interpret this term, light? Genesis says, darkness was covering everything. There was only darkness. The earth was void, without form, and the darkness, everything dark. Says, and God says, and there was darkness upon the waters. The waters was dark. And darkness says, let there be, God says, let there be light, and there was light. So where did the light appear? In the water. Says, the Spirit moved along the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. The Quran mentions water and darkness also. It gives a parable and it says the likeness of the darkness is as the water. Darkness upon darkness. Levels of darkness. Now, those who have stood by deep water, a lake, even a pond sometimes, or a lake at night when it's very dark, and you look at the water, you can see that on the top of the water is lighter, and the darkness is more is depth. The deeper you go, the darker it is to your eyes. And the, I guess this is very dark down there. The depth is the dark is very dark. It says that the Spirit moved on the face of the water. Now I'm doing an interpretation here. You can accept it or reject it. That's not what I'm working for. I didn't come here to work for you to accept or reject me. All right. Now, it says moved upon the face of water. So let us see the face of the water now as the part having the most light. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And everything became light, right? Everything became light. So he rose up a light, light for the day. And he set in the heavens the light for the night. Now, we know that to be the sun and the moon. So here we must understand then also that the sun and the moon in Scripture are not really that sun out there and that moon we may see tonight. It's talking about another sun and the moon. Though God, we did make that physical sun that we see in the day when the clouds are permit us, are not there, or permit us to see, and we, that moon and night. We know God made that. But what do we need a prophet to come tell us that for? Primitive man running around in the cave. You know, and he had a name for God. He's God, oh God, oh God. You know, if it was too hot for him, oh God, cool it, cool it. So we didn't need no great prophet, no great mind, no super intelligence to come and tell us God made the sun and God made all this. Man knows that by nature. His nature tells him that something did this and is bigger than I am, must be God. He calls it something by some name, and when we interpret that name, we find he means a God. Now I'm coming to another term, kingdom. People have hoped for a kingdom, a righteous and just kingdom to come. And in both scriptures, this hope is addressed. In the Bible, a prayer is given, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How does the Quran address this kingdom? As the throne. And it was recited today by Imam at the beginning of the meeting. It is addressed as the throne. And the Quran says of the throne, that His throne, meaning Allah's throne or God's throne, extends over the heavens and the earth. وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. That his throne extends over the heavens, the skies. Semawad doesn't mean heavens. Heavens is English. Semawad means the skies. Literally translated, correctly translated, his heaven expands the skies. His throne, pardon me, expands the skies and the earth. Well, الأرض and the earth. And there's more there to that, but that's outside of this subject, which I would like to talk about, because we need it bad in this world. But I'm not going to burden you with more time, give you too much outside of the... I'm trying to stay within the limits of this talk. Now, so kingdom. What is a man's hope for a kingdom? We're talking about man's hope, the traditional hope of the human excellence of man, that tradition of human excellence. It also is the hope of man. And I'm saying, again, that a kingdom, a certain kingdom, is the hope of man. And all of these are vain. When we hope for that traditional excellence to become better and better and be fulfilled for us on earth, I'm saying that it's the same interpreted, is the same as the hope for a kingdom, that special kingdom, to come on earth. And also, it is the same as that hope for light. Now, the Genesis doesn't say man was hoping for light, but God saw his condition and said, God said, let there be light. And there was light. It is the same as the hope for light. All this is the same. Now, I want to come to something else. It is destiny. Destiny. Also called divine destiny. I'm saying that that's another term or another expression for that same hope. In the tradition of classical civilization, which is nothing but another language of classical scripture. I don't have the Quran. I was going to raise the Quran up. This is not the Quran. It's supposed to be put down and the Quran raised up. Now, let me continue. Now, the destiny. What is the destiny? Do we have a term for this destiny? Yeah, here's the Quran. Yes. So it is the same. The Quran and the scripture will have one language, and civilization has another, but it's the same. This destiny in Islamic Quranic term is called Al-Akhirah. 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 What is that Al-Akhirah? It is translated by translators as the hereafter. It is translated also as the latter. A more direct translation is given as a latter. The latter. The former will be Al-Awl in Arabic. And the latter will be Al-Akhirah. The latter. So it's translated like that. And hereafter is not Quranic. Hereafter is not Arabic. Hereafter is English. Understand that. There's nothing in this word that says hereafter. This word says latter. The end. The latter. What's coming later. That's all it says. What's coming later. Former and what's later. Or former the latter. What is the latter or the end or the death that's coming yet to come? What is that for us in another expression? The future. That's what it means, the future. We should believe in the future. But not just any future. It is the future that God intends for us. We should have faith in the future that God intends for us. So this word, Al-Akhirah, if I was going to translate the Quran, and I do plan to do that, and I am doing it piece by piece, or bit by bit as I can find time, and as God blessed me to do it, I would translate this term, not hereafter, I would say those who believe in the future. And in my commentary, I would say the future designed for man by God. Allahu Akbar. That means Allah is greater. I'm saying that to the wise and to the fools. That means Allah is greater. Yes. You know, some of the people who have the biggest idea of their own wisdom are the biggest fools you can find. Now I'm going back to the Bible, to the New Testament. Again, speaking of that kingdom, the promise of a kingdom to come. And I want you to quickly look at the expressions of that in the prophets, John and Jesus. Peace be upon John and Jesus Christ. John came alarming the people, didn't he? According to the New Testament, this is not Islam, this is not the Quran. We know the Quran presents it differently. John came alarming the people. Repent! Why he wanted them to repent and in a hurry. The kingdom of God is coming. See, we forget sometimes that it wasn't Jesus who announced the kingdom of God. It was John who announced the kingdom of God. And then Jesus came as a sign. And Jesus, the prophet Jesus Christ, he demonstrated in his own action, he demonstrated what should be the spirit of that kingdom of God. He started bringing to the conscience of people, even his own people, the Jews, who thought of themselves as the favorite people, and I'm using the language, the common language. You know, we don't say Jesus was a Jew. Technically speaking, no prophet of God was a Jew.
Right.
Technically speaking.
Right.
No prophet of God. Now, I'm technically speaking. I'm speaking as a Muslim now. Now, you all will allow me to speak as a Muslim too, right? Okay. Technically speaking, no prophet was a Christian.
That's right.
Technically speaking, every prophet was no more than what we are, a Muslim. And what is a Muslim? We introduced the Muslim in the very beginning of this talk, when we introduced the tradition of human excellence. That is the Muslim. Just the human excellence of man, that's Muslim. And God ain't asked nobody to do nothing for him unless they were first in that human excellence. So before going on from here, I want to make it clear again that by future and hereafter and destiny, we are talking about the hope for the traditional excellence of humanity, of man, to be fulfilled on this earth. And now I come to another expression, faith. Faith. F-A-C-E. We read in Scripture where the hope of man is also, when we say man, we mean woman and man. A society, that's what we mean when we say man. We mean society, which is woman and man. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
I see how you picked it up right quick. I see that. I got his vibe from behind me there. And that's not spooky, that's real. That's human too. Yes, so we look in Scripture, I mean Scriptures before Quran, Scriptures before the Gospel, before the New Testament. And we read where the hope of the oppressed people was to see the face of their Lord, the face of God. What did face mean to them? You think they were asking to see the face of a white man? No. That's not what they were hoping for. When they were talking about the face of God, they were talking about just what you say to each other when you're speaking of somebody that you miss, or somebody that you wish was still living, or somebody that you wish was around near you in your town that's in down south somewhere to help you in your moments of great need. And you say, if I could only see her face.
That's right.
You don't mean her physical face. You mean her presence. And you want her presence because she has something that you need in her makeup to comfort you, or in her treatment that you need. So that's why. So when people say they wanted to see the face of God, they wanted to see God's presence. And his presence was just not for his presence per se. No, they wanted his presence because his presence provided what they need. They felt that his presence would fulfill their need. And they were talking about what? Kingdom. What is kingdom? Rule. R-U-L-E. So when they said they wanted to see the face of God, they meant we want to see the rule of God on earth. We're sick and tired of this oppressive rule. Right. We want to see God's rule on this earth. We see your face, O King, right. And we don't like it. Right. See, face mirrors the person's makeup to you and tells you what you can expect from that person. You know, when you go to a person and you need something, first thing you want to do, we want to look at his face. Hey, man, turn around. Man, look at me, man. They talk to me, baby. They look at me. Don't turn your head. You want to read that face. Yes. So I'm saying that face is just another symbolic term representing the just order, the just rule, the just government that the people hope for on this earth. Now, isn't that a great disservice to that powerful message to show the people a white man and say that's what they were hoping for? Now, I'm not prejudiced against a white man. You know that. I risk your love and your allegiance to tell you that that's wrong. Now, just so we know what time of day it is, I'm going to kind of change, go off from the subject. What they call it, digress a bit, huh? Yeah, digress. You know, sometimes you have to walk away from it and pick up bring what you saw over there, your knee, back to the path of direction and keep going. Now, just to show you what time of day it is, while the white European American, and every time I use white and black, please see quotation marks. Because white in the dictionary means pure. It means light. It means a whole lot of things that most white people are not. And black in the dictionary means ignorant, bored, empty, dead, dull, sinful, and a whole lot of, and much more that I can't repeat or quote for you. That just can't apply to most black people. To some, yes, but not to the many. Now, while we are celebrating almost, now I know most of our political leaders, they are not celebrating. Black caucus, they are not celebrating this. Black caucus members, they are not celebrating it. Most of our popular preachers in the churches, they are not celebrating it. Some of our oppressed imams, they ain't celebrating it. But I know I am, and a group that's with me, we celebrate a change for the better in America. We recognize that we are living in a better situation today than we were living in 30 years ago. We're not going to close our eyes to that reality. But while we differ maybe in the way that we respond to change for the better on the part of the behavior of whites, in quotation, always, we do share the burden of a continuation of that old misrepresentation and mistreatment of us. the Japanese. And I won't explain for them why he do this. But we know the Japanese have been guilty of reawakening some racist idea about us. Giving support to some of the diehard racists, you know, with the language they use and the expressions they make. And we read where they have Sambo dolls, popular Sambo dolls, being sold in Japan. So we just can't say that this problem is over. It ain't over. We celebrate change for the better, but we realize there's still work to do. Not on them. That's the mistake that most of our leaders make. Time is out for asking for more change in them. On us! Now, we should realize also that, and by the way, I try to catch Tony Brown's journal as often as I can. And that's where I got this information about the Japanese selling dolls, the Sambo doll, Tony Brown, my little short brother that's awfully tall, little Tony Brown. Oh, that man's so short, he make me feel like stooping a little bit when I talk to him. And you know I'm short. Now, this is important, too, that we realize this, that there have always been good Caucasian, European-American, white people in this part of the world, in the New World. They didn't just come here. They always been here. They were oppressed, too, when a majority of them did the evils and were successful in establishing the order of white supremacy that they were successful in. Their own people were oppressed, too. They never liked it, and many of them have died from the start of that evil to the finish of that evil. Many of them died. John Brown is one of them. They call him a madman, but he died because he was fed up with that evil, and he wanted to make a physical demonstration, sacrifice himself and whoever would help him fight it for the sake of demonstrating his rage at something even existing like that in the country. Now, not only that, these people we call white, they didn't just start accepting us. Look, when we were free, according to history, the first church headed by one of our people was established in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, by Richard Allen, and it's called the first black African people's church in America. He established it, and from the moment he established it, he began preaching. His congregation was not just black or just recently liberated people from slavery. No, he attracted also whites. They described his congregation as being a congregation that had an appreciable mix of both blacks and whites. That tells you a lot. How many of us would have the courage, if we were white, to go and join a congregation of a black man who had just been liberated from slavery, yes, that most of the whites thought was a monkey and should still be in chains? Right. How many of us, if we were white, would have the courage to go and listen to that man preach? So what I'm saying to you, that we need to give intelligent study to the behavior of white people, not just bad whites, but good whites. And it's more important now for us to give make a study of the behavior of good white people in the history. Because we know all about the bad, and there are people that ain't going to do nothing but talk about the bad. So we don't have to do that. We need to focus on the thing that they're not focusing on. The good people in our history, and especially the good whites, that died, many of them, because they wanted to demonstrate their moral rage. We're getting there. I don't have to catch a plane today, so you know. If I'm rushing today, it's for your sake, not mine. I'll leave that be. I went over there and I got what was over there on the side of the road. And I picked up what I thought to be needed for this direction. And now we're back on course, okay? Now, within the theme, the Quran as the foundation of society, or for society. Let me continue. The Quran speaks of the face of God, the throne of God, but also of the face of God. And in the Quran, which is the word of God, unchanged, perfect, God also speaks of his face. And he says that there has come a time when nothing shall exist. Everything is going to perish and vanish. But the face of God, the Most High. All right, let's move on. Now, we gave Genesis, right? We gave some reference from Genesis. Now let me give something that I think is a kind of Genesis language, if not Genesis, because we have nothing to call Genesis. For us, the Genesis is Quran. Yeah. That's the Genesis. The whole Quran for us is Genesis. And a Genesis that represents the second birth, the life that will remain. It's not going away. Man is born, he dies, but if he lives again, he lives without dying. So we believe that once we live in Islam, obeying the Quran, following the example in the Sunnah of Muhammad the Prophet, that we have the life that will not perish and will not die. We command only as Allah instructs us to command. So we hope for a day when the whole society of man will respect God's intent and God's instructions to us. All of his professions, both sides of his world, the secular side, and the spiritual side, or the religious side. We hope for a day when both sides of the world will respect that. Now, we don't want the a religious order or government headed by religious people like we've had in the past. Those people made the mistake of following Egypt. Pharaoh's orders. Copying his ideas. That the man, he becomes God on earth. Pharaoh claimed he was God. He had a great civilization. And right today, Western science and Western civilization pays respect and almost homage to the accomplishments of that ancient civilization called Egypt. But no matter how great it was, we don't want to see ancient Egyptian order on America, do we? No. We call their pharaohs idol worshippers, heathens, right? Though they had great science, great science. They had great science, great material science. We don't look for an order like their order to come, though the pyramid is on the dollar, and the focus of light is there over the pyramid. But we know we don't hope for an order like that. We hope that America's excellent tradition of freedom, justice, equality, progress will continue, and that this democracy we have and have survived in for 200 years will continue to fulfill its promises and become even better until we all are satisfied and not burdened and not punished as citizens in this country. That's what we hope for. We're not looking for that ancient order of Egyptians. No. And we're certainly not looking for the old Church of Rome to come back into power. We're not looking for that because they persecuted the common people. They persecuted the women. They oppressed women and they oppressed the common masses. And what brought about that great ignorance and that great injustice? The belief that man is born to inherit divinity, to be a god on earth. That's what messed them up. So their king was also called the divine. This is history. He was called the divine king. Holiness, thou holiness, your holiness. Not only the Pope, their great king, when the church was ruling the land. So we don't want that. But we do want the promise of God, the kingdom that he intended for man on this earth. And for it to come, we must say as those who made the mistake said. But we say it and do right. We say it and have the right vision, the right perception. We say it too, that the command must be God. Huh? Doesn't make us God. No, we are men. We're just common men, making mistakes, repenting for our sins. But we have the word of God, the rules of God, and this order is the order approved by, designed by, intended for us by God. So in a sense, we do hope for a divine order on earth, a divine kingdom on earth, a divine rule on earth. We do hope for it. For the rule is always God's, according to the Muslim. The rule is God. And the command is his. So what does that mean? How do we apply that, brother, down here on in our little small business? We too must apply that principle in our life in the home. Sister, you should want the order of God in your house. You should want to run your family according to the word of God. You should want to raise your children to hope for wives, to hope for husbands who will hope for homes run according to the order of God. And when you have that, you have a unit model of the kingdom to come. You have a proof of what God promised, huh? In your house. Brothers, when we are teaching in our schools, and sisters, when you are teaching in the schools as school teachers and principals, you should be trying to run that school under the command of God so that school becomes a model, a unit in that great order that God intends for us on this earth. And that applies to all of our aspirations, to all of our investments, to all of our involvements, to all of our concerns, to all of our business. It applies to science and everything else. Though we are medical doctors, we should try to run our medical order so that it will be a small unit of that government, that divine government that's coming. Say, hey, what kind of administration you have here? One approved by God's word, the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet. Then it'll be halal and tayyiba. Huh? It'll be halal and tayyiba. Then it'll be a reflection of that paradise that God wants us to have. See, Muslims must understand that God, he doesn't want to shock the ignorant believers and burden them too much. They are not intellectual yet. So he says a lot of things to us that the wise, that the ignorant must grow into wisdom to understand and appreciate. But I think civilization, just the fact, you know, if you haven't been doing nothing but riding on the bus of civilization, or the truck, or the train of civilization, we have made so much progress. Now, I don't think we should have to be hesitant to tell you that God wants us to have paradise now and after. Right. Here and hereafter. Right. Now and later. Right. And I'm telling you that it's real. Yeah. God's promise is real. And the Quran makes it possible and practical. Yes. And Prophet Muhammad shows us the steps plainly for all of us to see and follow. So, dear brothers and sisters, that's the meaning of Quran as the foundation of society. And we pray God forgive us all our sins and guide us always, grant us peace and prosperous families and happy families. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum.